All you want to know is who and when. That's all you want to know. We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We're talking about the schedule drop. The Falcons schedule drop will happen a little bit before 8 o'clock tonight. Teams have their own discretion. And this is something Mike and I were talking about earlier, about what they want to put in these schedule release videos, Mike, that have become such a big deal with these NFL schedule releases.
Right.
And we were saying today, all right, well, who's going to take a shot at Mike Vrabel? The league is saying, look, we're not previewing these in advance to say yay or nay or this team, right, take that out. So every team has a chance to take shots at whoever they want. Look, there's something about being not classy, Mike, but being a little critical of your opponents, but not to the point where I think it's, you know, over the top. And I think that's the
You tweak it. Take the high road. I'm just curious, like the Jets, you know, with the Dolphins, you think about like the big rivalries, you know, there's lots of teams that hate the Patriots. I mean, hell, half the league hates the Patriots. But
that's why I think somebody's going to take a shot.
Will you? But how far will you go? Would you have like the Patriots and there's a guy, there's a pond with a boat in it, and there's a guy with a pregnant lady? I don't know. See, the thing is, you're still talking about people's lives and kids and families and all that. So I'm not sure how teams are going to handle it. But obviously, you've already seen all the memes and everything. Now, it would be kind of funny if somebody took that meme where you've got Dina Rossini playing like a center and Vrabel's behind her getting the snap.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep it clean for kids in the car. I thought that made me laugh when I saw it, but I don't think anyone's going to take that bait.
We'll see. And by the way, if a team, it only makes sense if that team's on their schedule. Like for
right.
a team,
there's
to
no
not,
reason to know.
Yes.
Right.
Now you're just being silly, but if the team is on their schedule and as they lay out their schedule, hey, we take on the Patriots, blah, 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 and then there's some. We'll see.
The Game of Thrones one that we did for Atlanta Falcons was so good, and they're generally really great marketing team, great clever ideas they come up with. You know, the Tennessee Titans kind of really struck gold with the man or woman on the street where they show a logo and they're guessing the wrong name of the team. But I thought that was kind of neat. But we'll see what they come up with. We talked about, you know, the sort of like the goofy one because Taylor Swift makes sourdough bread, so the Chiefs put something out there with their opponents.
Makes sense.
On sourdough. But yeah, we do know, and we think we know it's the Steelers. And by the way, Carl, just real quick. Guys ask us all the time, where's the league? You guys, we had sources. Those guys are no longer sources because the teams, because the league clamps down on the teams clamps down on the people that are connected to the team. You're not getting this information out there. And they're also saying they're going to penalize reporters that are putting this stuff out there.
Well, look, there's a lot of advertising tied to the schedule drop. And you want to get and garner the most attention you possibly can. The only way you do that is if I don't know. If I know at 5, why am I watching at 8? Right, so it's sort of like these leaks have come
like
out
on draft night,
correct? And same thing applies. You know, everybody's like, "Oh, well, I'll just go on my phone and I'll find out who the draft picks are." Good luck, because the league is telling those guys, "Do not announce this before we announce it." And every now and then it gets out, but that's why you don't see as frequently as you know the full schedule. We're putting pieces of a puzzle together based on varying reports. Yes, at Pittsburgh, Mike, week one allegedly. Again, none of this is official. At Carolina, potentially week two, which would be a division game. Jump to week 8 at Tampa. Again, we're looking at what Tampa has and their opponents and all of this stuff. Cincinnati, we know. That's the Madrid game. That's week 9. Then you jump to week 15 at the Commanders. But those are, right now, the 5 we're looking at. That leaves still a lot to be determined. Week 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, week 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and then, of course, the final 3 weeks of the season. Do you take the bye after the overseas trip?
Yeah, for some reason, we did not last year. And I think the bye, you want, I mean, you like it as late as possible. Think about this. If we had had the bye, you know, by week 10, would that have helped a little bit with all these nagging injuries that Drake London, for instance, was dealing with? You know, remember, Drake really couldn't go, you know, and, you know, we had everybody in the wide receiver room basically was banged up at one time or another last year. But that would be one, I would say, later is better. So let's do it right after the trip to España.
Yeah, look, I'd love to tell you that just makes total sense for the team. And then, Mike, again, for the rest of the schedule, you're still talking about, what, 7-8 weeks of football?
Yeah, I've still a long way to go.
So I think
historically you'd like to have it later. Earlier is never that good because you just know it's the wear and tear of the NFL season. You're going to have guys banged up. You know, and then, you know, the last couple of years where they've sort of like really packed it in with a bunch of NFC South, which that's the way it should be, shouldn't it? Finish up with your division. I know the Bucs, we talked about, you know, how tough are they going to be? Carolina's still the defending division champion, right? And then the Saints had how quickly the Saints bring together all the young pieces. The Saints and the Bucs really, and Carolina really had good drafts by But everything you and I talked about, knowing what those, because we see those teams twice a year, knowing what they needed, they addressed it.
Okay, a couple more leaks.
What you got?
Week 3 at Green Bay.
Okay, good. See, anybody who's ever wanted to go to Lambeau, that's when you want to go to Lambeau.
You're not lying. Early.
In September or October, before you get freezing your butt off.
Allegedly, again, this is not confirmed. We're just putting pieces of the puzzle together. Bears, week 6 for our Falcons at home. We know they're a home opponent.
Chi-Town comes here.
And then you turn around and get the 49ers in week 7. So Bears, 49ers.
Oof.
Then you'd be at Tampa. We just talked about that game, week 8. And then Cincinnati, that's going overseas to Madrid. So 6, 7, 8, oof, week 9. Bears, 49ers, Bucks, Bengals. We do not know what week 10 looks like. It's open.
That's. I mean, I know that but you're going off the record of last year's teams. But still, I mean, you talk to any Falcon fan, that's a meat grinder.
No, it is.
That's a hell of a run right there.
And here's the again, this is all the perception of what we think the schedule might look like. Week 13, we just talked about the last few weeks of the season, potential Lions at home. We know we get them at home. At Cleveland, at Washington, we talked about that, week 15. And then week 16, you said a division game. Bucks here at Carolina potentially to end the season in week 18. And guess what? That game meant something the last few years.
Yeah, and we lost it the last few years. Yeah, man, that's tough. I mean, we've turned. I mean, I think some of the confidence Bryce Young got came directly from us, how that season ended. Remember, Michael Penix Jr. threw for over 300 yards, scored 38 points, and you lose the game.
Yep.
So, and again, and the big question will be all these games we're talking about, who's going to be under center?
It's true.
Who's going to start under center? Is he going to be the guy at the end of the season?
Well, and Big O, didn't you just tell us that if the Steeler game is accurate, it feels like it is, week one, we're already underdogs?
The early line from BetOnline has the Falcons 2-point underdogs.
Who's the quarterback for the Steelers?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers hasn't even shown up yet. Now, I presume they think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. Yes. Now, you could argue that both teams don't technically have the number one quarterback in place right now.
No, it's true. Rich Sullivan says, put him up. See, Dukes and Mike Bell is at ATL Bell 929.
I know it's a mouthful.
No, it's easy. Rich says, it's not just who and when, Dukes. It's how much these games are going to cost me.
Yes.
He's right. He's absolutely right.
Now, look, I'd love to go to Lambeau. I've only been there once, and it's a blast. That's the one that is every football fan should always make the trip. You know, and if you're lucky enough that you have those houses that are abutting to the where the parking lot is, you can have fire pits. And we got a good friend, Greg Hughes, buddy of ours, NBC executive, by the way, who lives here in Atlanta, Greg. Wink, wink. But that would be a blast to go up to Lambeau. But I do love Pittsburgh. That's all the things we love. Great food, great restaurants, casino gambling, all within walkable distance of the stadium. Yeah. Perfect.
No, look, we had a great trip a couple of years ago. It was great. I'm with you on that. It's one of the best environments. And by the way, nobody's going to try to beat you up. That's the other thing. We said that earlier. Mike, at Cleveland week 14, so you're talking about that's November, right? That'd be November?
That's lake effect snow and sleet and everything else. Their stadium is not built yet, guys. It's coming. But, yeah. So, yeah, Cleveland, again, these are the rumored reports, guys. It's been leaked. Carl just mentioned Detroit week 13 here at Cleveland, at Commanders, Tampa Bay week 17, we don't know, and then Carolina, at Carolina.
Yeah, we'll see what the official schedule says. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at this, and I'd love to tell you win, loss, win. I can't.
That's a fool's game.
Well, number one, I'm not that confident in my team right now. I'm not.
No, if you ask me,
I'm not that confident in my team right now.
Guy asked me at the gym the other day. I said 8. I said 7. Same as we always are. 7 or 8.
If I'm one of these teams coming off of a playoff like the Bears, if we were the Bears, I'd be happy to tell you win, loss, win, because you feel confident about Caleb and what you saw last year, Mike, and where that coach is and where that team is headed, and it feels like they're doing it the right way. Maybe that becomes us here this season, but like right now, I still have a lot of questions and. This is going to be a challenging schedule.
But like as we said, do we know that like Joe Burrow will be even playing when we play week 9 in Madrid based on the last couple of years for him, the injury history? You know, Jaden Daniels has shown that he's got to stay durable. Will Jaden Daniels even be on the field when we play them? Will Dan Quinn be on the hot seat when we play the Commanders? You know, new ownership group.
Yeah. Well, they brought him in, though.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's the group that hired him.
I'm just saying.
I think last year they're giving him a pass because of Daniel's injury, but look, they show they're good enough. Want to remind you guys that we are having our Father's Day dinner, not Mike and I, the entire radio station, 92.9 The Game, Go to 929thegame.com, click the contest page, and tell us why you and a guest want to celebrate Father's Day with us. Now, it's not actually Father's Day. We wouldn't do that to you. But 10 winners and their guests are going to join us June 5th, which is actually before the date, for a special dinner at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. All right, it's brought to you in part by Echo Park Speedway and Chattanooga Whiskey. That is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's our fourth annual Father's Day dinner. Come hang out. We'd love to get a chance to meet you, but it, again, is exclusive. So if you want to be a part of it, you've got to go to 92.9thegame.com and click on the contest page and tell us why you want to be there. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Grant because the Braves remain hot. Grant McCauley next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves win again. They continue to roll, but we do have questions about J.R. Richie's outing. And can these role players continue to play as well as they have? Mm-hmm. They'll wrap up the series tonight. Chris Sale on the hill, 6-2 with a 2.20 ERA. Ben Brown on the hill for the Cubs. We will talk with Grant McCauley coming up in just a few minutes. But before we do, let's get you caught up on what's going on at the PGA Championship.
Live from Aramenic. Yes, Carl, outside Philadelphia. PGA, the last shot at glory. Now it's a second major, so it kind of loses a little bit of juice. I said to you, I'm just not as amped up as I normally would be for this. A dude from South Africa. He used to practice his golf swing by standing on plastic. There's only so many Lethal Weapon 2 references we can do. Aldrich Puttgieter. I have no idea how to pronounce the man's name. Anyway, he's at 3-under. Justin Thomas, 3-under through 10. Steven Yeager, we learned, went to UT Chattanooga. He's from Germany. He shot at 3-under. Minwoo Lee from Australia shot at 3-under. Martin Keimer, a former major winner, but it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Also 3-under through 15. Let's get to the Americans. We got Scottie Scheffler. He's heating up, Carl. 2-under through 10.
What's going on with Scottie Scheffler? Here he comes.
On the back nine. Xander Schauffele. You got to say it just like that. 2-under. He shot today. Jordan Spieth, as Dusty Rhodes would say. 1-under today for his round. Patrick Reed. Nobody likes him, but 2-under through 13. Jason Day. He shot a 1-under today. Brooks Koepka shot a 1-under as well. Let's see here. Any other guy? John Rahm from Liv. Boo. I don't mind him. He also shot a 1-under today. Ricky Fowler was even par, but that's Ricky Fowler.
Come on. It is.
And Cameron Young, the young stud, he's even par through 10. So there you go. There's the names you recognize.
Wow. All right.
But you said it. It's a beautiful golf course, but those sort of terraced or multi-level greens are just playing havoc with some dudes.
That's the beauty of these courses, and it was done, redone, should I say, redone over. It looks easy. When you look at this course, and from a walkable standpoint, right, too, Mike, but I also think you really don't get a sense, it's sort of like the Masters, you don't get a sense of how the hills and the undulation plays into this, and that's why, again, some of these green shots, or at least approach shots, right, have not been exactly where they wanted them because they're rolling off or they're rolling past, and it's interesting to see how this is going to play.
You know what I was saying? Like the U.S. Open at Marion? Yeah. The similarities to how the course sets up.
I think the same designer redid this course.
So if you like that stuff, there's nothing. Oh, the one hole there, it's like there's no signature holes, basically. Kind of like, with all due respect to, some of the courses that we've seen over the years. Pebble Beach, everything, right? Obviously, there's certain courses. Maybe you're not familiar with Shinnecock as much as you would be. Some of the other places, but like Baltus Raw. But anyway, yeah, we'll see what the TV numbers do for the weekend.
All right, man. We're going to talk with Grant here. Is he ready yet, or he's coming on? Okay. Grant, we know he's doing some interviews at the ballpark today. Meanwhile, Mike, let's talk about last night real quick, because last night was exciting. And I think you said, I'm not sure how you phrased it earlier, but it feels, I think I used the word magical. Some of these moments we've already had in just 30 wins feel magical. It hasn't all felt that way, even though we're winning a lot of series. But you've had these moments in these games. And last night it felt that way, Mike, with the Dubon home run for me, with that two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth. I was like, these guys just come through.
Yaz, as we said, he knows his role, right hand that he can just rake, against left-handed pitchers, not the same, but last night provides the fireworks. Dubon gives you the insurance. Earlier how do I mispronounce the Japanese pitcher's name? Imanaga? Oh, I blew it again. Either way, he was dealing. Yeah, he was dealing, man. And that sinker he had was almost unhittable. When Drake went down, I said to Carl earlier, he goes down and gets it. And the pitcher's reaction is like, really?
that to happen? And a nice catch out in the bullpen using the cap. But the Braves just seem – the reason I said it, it reminds you of 21. 21 was different because we had a bunch of guys added to the team in the midseason, and the guys, you had no idea who they were. They all clutched it up. Well, the difference now is Austin Riley was off in April, and now he's raking. Acuna's missing in action. But all the guys that we didn't know in Northport when this team was put together are all raking. You know, like you said, that you know the Dominic Smiths and you know Dubon has always been known as a slick fielding player, but man, he's banking up with a bat as well.
Here is Dubon coming through in a big spot last night.
Dubon deep to left. See you later.
I told Wall, as long as he lets me hit, I don't care where I play. I mean, from one tonight, I don't care. I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, like, you know, I've been making a good career out of it and just coming out here and, like, help the team win offensively.
Yeah, I don't care as long as I play. And and look, that unselfish attitude is a reason why this team is where they are. Let's talk to Grant. He's joined us right now here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Grant, I don't know what word you've used, but as this team continues to find ways to win, what does it remind you of? Does it give you a sense that this could be special?
It definitely does. Special is a great word for it. I think that the Braves have been resourceful with their bench because they actually have those different layers of depth that they can count on. And I think hearing that from Mike Yastrzemski really underscores the attitude of this team, is that everyone has a role to play. It's not just the nine guys in the starting lineup and that night's starting pitcher. You just don't know how this thing is going to play out. So you got to be ready. Those pinch hit opportunities, the opportunity to pinch run, the defensive replacements who can make a great play or a key play in a game. Everybody does have that role to play. And I think that beginning in spring training, the Braves have really been good about communicating that. And everyone is bought into this thing. The injuries are going to take a toll. How are you going to answer for those? How are you going to, you know, find the hits that you need, cover the innings that you have to? So, yeah, I think special is a great word for it, but being resourceful and being able to make the most of this depth this year has been a huge boost to the Atlanta Braves and one of the big reasons why they are where they are with the best record in baseball.
Grant was catching up with Javi Lopez. More on that coming up, but that's why we were talking about Imanaga. I always butcher the name, Grant. He was dealing, and to get to the bullpen, because it looked like Craig Counsell was going to stay with him for the whole game, but they get to the pen and then teed off. How about Drake Baldwin, though, going down and golf-shotting that home run?
Yeah, and that's the kind of hitter that Drake Baldwin is. And that's the big thing with even a pitcher who's dialed in that third time through the order, and the rare time that a pitcher gets a fourth time through the order, because the complete game is not so much a thing in our game anymore. The hitters do start to become a little bit more keyed in on what some tendencies could be. And Drake, you would be surprised, I think, to know that he is so young in his career because of the back control that he has, the ability to make those adjustments. And I saw an article on ESPN over the weekend talking about the duo of Matt Olson and Drake Baldwin and how they kind of share some information about, hey, this is how the ball's coming out of his hand. Look for this spin. Look for this location, and how much that can benefit. So, again, you talk about resourcefulness. That's a big part of it when everybody's kind of helping the next link in the chain be as strong as it can be.
That is Grant McCauley here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Cubs and Braves tonight. Chris Sale. And look, it's weird because he usually starts these series, right, and gets us going. Tonight he gets a chance to finish it and potentially with the sweep. And we know he's got the stuff, Grant, to shut this Cubs lineup down.
Oh, yeah. And the Cubs lineup has been really, really scuffling. I mean, they come into this game, or this series, rather, with back-to-back shutouts. Then they score a couple of runs. They get one hit in the opener. And
Grant, hold on 1 second. We apologize, Grant, because we are losing you. You're going in and out there. It's Grant McCauley. We'll grab him back here just for a second and wrap up as the series gets done tonight. You're going this weekend, right? Red Sox?
Yeah, man. I got Red Sox tickets on Sunday, so looking forward to that. It's going to be a blast. I think it's Grant Holmes on the bump. Not exactly excited about that, but we'll see if Grant can get to the fifth inning and see where it goes. But you asked, and we'll get Grant's take on J.R. Richie. 87 pitches through 4 1/3. Kinley, you know, his ERA is okay, but Kinley makes me nervous lately. I got to be honest. Kinley came in, base knocked to left, so that put the Cubbies on the board, tied the game. And then everybody else did their job. You know, Perez and Lee. Suarez comes in. I mean, he's been money. Again, it's credit to Walt Weiss. Not how we thought he was going to be used. Remember, you and I spent all the spring training going, he should be closing. Well, they're using him like as the troubleshooter, and it's working out, man.
Yeah.
Just great. I mean, there's just something unique, and that's why you just feel if you're the Braves. I don't think, not that Alex would, he never comped to it, but if Alex has to go to Terry McGuirk, can I have a little extra in the envelope to go make some deals at the trade deadline? They're going to let him because this feels like a team that can do something.
All right, Grant's back. We were talking about Sale. I just wanted you to wrap up with that because we can close this thing out. Look, we feel pretty good, but if we sweep these guys, it'll even be better.
Yeah, even better, man. This Cubs team is struggling, and Walt White said before this game, sometimes it's when you play a team that matters.
All right, Grant, I apologize again, Grant. It's not you. It's us. It's not you.
It's us.
It's us. All right, that's Grant McCauley.
It's not your fault.
And I'm sure he'll tell you more about his interview with Javi Lopez, but unable to hear the audio there, right. And we're in an audio medium. All right, it's Dukes and Bell. We've got more to dive into.
Now, we can continue to talk to Grant as if we're being jammed by Soviet radar, but I figured,
that's what
you know.
It felt like. That's what it felt like. We've got more to dive into, guys. We're going to talk more. By the way, there is a story I do need to mention because we talked about it a few weeks ago, and it dropped, and I think that this is good. I'll tell you what it is coming up, but I also think that this just proves, I think, the point that I was trying to make, Mike, when it comes to these programs and where they are and football trying to support everything. We'll tell you about that. Also, we got to mention this. Don't want to, but we had Mike Griffith on from Dog Nation.
Yep.
And the Dogs, a transfer kid who went to East Carolina, by the way, his first two seasons. His name is Jamarly Riddle, arrested on a pair of felony charges for possession of a controlled substance and a misdemeanor speeding charge, Mike. We talked about that with Mike.
And again, this is not about Athens-Clarke County. I mean, this is a legitimate screw-up for a transfer student who doesn't know the world about Georgia and driving like this. Apparently, he was weaving in and out down in Glynn County over by Brunswick, and that's where the cops got him. And so, again, not exactly a way to impress people. We've just paid you money to come in and transfer, and you do something like that.
No doubt. We'll tell you who the Falcons have signed, and also, is there another leak? Yeah, man, the schedule comes out tonight. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell. We'll tell you what we know about the Falcons schedule, what's going down tonight. 8 o'clock, the official schedule release, but we have a few more leaks. Mike, we were just watching what's going on at the PGA Championship. What's the deal?
Down at Aronimink. Yes, Scottie Scheffler, baby.
What's going on with Scottie Scheffler?
He's making a move. He's now tied with Justin Thomas and a couple other dudes you never heard of for the 3-under. So Scottie Scheffler, with 7 holes left to play, is your co-leader. Okay. At the PGA Championship.
Here, this is how it happens. Look, he's been runner-up. He's been there, but you said it. Like, I just don't know if he has put himself, after the first day, to be in position to really have to chase the rest of the weekend. But we'll see, man.
Yeah, I saw Brandel Shamnuts. They were talking about it this morning on the Golf Channel, and they were saying that Scheffler is like ranked 77th on tour as far as his first-round score. In other words, to Carl's point, he's not putting himself in a position to make it move. But anyway, yeah, he's rocking and rolling right now. But, it's a course. You're right about these greens. I've not had a chance to watch much during the show.
It's brutal.
But the greens, man, yikes.
It's brutal. It's like Pinehurst. I'll be honest with you.
And I hate Pinehurst.
I know, because you can hit the perfect shot, right, and it doesn't stick, right? These greens, they're beautiful. This course is beautiful. As I said, it's been redone. But the tiers.
Right.
So you're making a decision, and again, these caddies are like, all right, put it on. You're still talking about a 50-foot putt for birdie.
Right.
So that becomes the issue, and now I've got to control the speed, and I get it. These are pros, but at the end of the day, Mike, like, that's the challenge with this course.
Yeah, man. And again, nothing against the Pinehurst. It's just, you know, making a green look like the bottom, like a salad bowl turned upside down, so you got, like, one shot of sticking it. And you know, sometimes good shots don't get rewarded. Anyway, that's what's going on up there outside of Philly. We'll keep you up to speed over tomorrow, guys. By the way, Twin Peaks, Dukes and Bell Live, the Buckhead store right off of Piedmont. We'll be watching the PGA and hanging out. And I think Hasselhoff's going to swing by.
Just nice.
He just got back from Columbia.
Yeah, look, you show me those pictures. I got to be honest. This guy lives a life.
El Jefe.
He lives a life.
I tell you what, we got a buddy of ours. If you've been at some of our events over the years, you've met our buddy Jerry. He looks like the Hoff. We just say don't hassle the Hoff. But yeah, let's just say.
Flying that plane, by the way?
I think he was in a helicopter.
Okay.
I don't know if he's.
I'm like, what doesn't this guy do?
But it's like he's with the Charlie's Angels of Columbia.
Hey, she's a nice girl. She's from outside Medellin.
Yeah.
She's from outside of Bogota. Anyway, but yeah, so we'll recap all that tomorrow. Maybe off the air for you at the Twin Peaks Bucket.
All right, couple of things. One, I just want to mention this story, and I will at the end of the hour, about college sports, because Mike and I had this conversation. But Arkansas is reinstating its tennis program.
Okay.
20 days after it was initially cut.
And so somebody cut a check.
Well, I'll tell you why. And they're saying, okay, this may not be a long-term solution, but it's interesting because we said, hey, is this going to be the way of the new norm where programs like tennis and other lesser-tier programs get cut? Arkansas, to say they don't have the money is ridiculous. You got Tyson Foods and Walmart and all this stuff, and they're saying they don't have money. All right, with that, let's talk about the Falcons because everybody is anticipating what's going on with the schedule. We only have pieces of this puzzle. We cannot confirm that any of this is accurate, but we're, again, taking stuff from other teams and trying right. to put it all together. At Steelers week one, that is the rumor. And, again, this is all rumors. I don't start them. I just talk about them once right. they're out. Carolina at home week two. Potentially Green Bay, week three at Green Bay. We do not know about week four and five. Bears come here week six. San Francisco, week seven, Mike. And then you're looking at the Buccaneers, week eight. Now, we knew when we started the show about five of these games, there have been some more leaked and added on. We know about the Bengals-Madrid game. That's week nine. We do not know about week 10, 11, 12. We get to week 13. We go Lions at home. At Cleveland, week 14, at Washington, Dan Quinn, week 15. Then you get the Buccaneers, division game, week 16. We do not know about week 17, and you end the season, again, not confirmed by the Falcons, at Carolina.
Okay, so up in Charlotte.
But I will say this,
cold and rainy like it usually is.
No, but that game has meant something the last few years. It's been frustrating to play Carolina and go, well, all right, let's go get a win, and then we don't.
No, I mean, every team in this division, you know, the Saints have been really struggling of late, and, you know, we've been winning more games, but we're not bringing home the bacon. Carolina finally got the quarterback situation straightened out. They win. The Bucs have been the best team in the division, but it's, look, with competent, solid quarterback play the last couple of years, we win this division. We have not been able to do it.
Yes.
And the question then becomes, with the turnover on the roster, losing guys like Caden Ellis, potential James Pierce suspension, how effective is the defense going to be? And what is our new look wide receiver room going to do? We know, like, you know, you can count on Bijan. You know, you can, you hope you can count on Pitts in this new offense, but we don't know. But once again, the quarterback is like any team in the league. No blank Sherlock. But I mean, what's that going to be? Because we could be a 10 win team. We could be a 7 win team. Just like every year the last, what, 6 years? Six of the last eight.
Mike, you know what we got to do? And look, we got to win the games we're supposed to.
Here's the thing.
Right?
We have a conversation off the air with some folks. We talked Jermaine Dupree story. We had a big show, man. Yeah, by the way, Clark Lee was on for you, Vanderbilt alum. You go back and rewind on the Odyssey app. Carl was just talking about the landscape of college football. How does he fall on the playoff and expanding? Clark Lee from Vandy, that was about 320 right here on Dukes and Bell.
Good stuff.
On the Odyssey app. But no, Jermaine Dupree, we were talking about it with him, you know, and the Falcons and the Hawks and everything going on with Atlanta sports. But you're right. It's just so frustrating. The fans, they want to believe in a winner. But when you don't do it consistently, that's when the fans from the other teams show up. And when the Hawks finally start winning, the Knicks fans won't get those tickets. Same goes for the Falcons. There'll be a hell of a temptation to sell your tickets to, you know, a Bears fan.
Right.
You know, because that's a heritage team that travels. And don't, please. But, you know, you can't tell people how to, you know, recoup their PSL. Anyway, but the schedule, there's a bear. Pardon the pun, it's a bear of a schedule.
No, it is. And I don't want to hear any of this crap about, well, percentage points-wise, I don't want to hear any of that. You know, I'm just looking at quarterbacks and coaches, right? Not knowing what these teams are going to look like. And say what you want about Carolina, we got to put some respect on that. I said, I like their draft last year. I like where they're headed. And then your quarterback, Mike, got his head on straight, and you saw what he was able to do.
They humiliated us in week three last year, so much so that Zach came down from the booth. Guys got fired.
That's right.
You know, whether that was to appease Arthur Blank, I want some butts. Either way, that's a team that, you know, that shouldn't be better than us. The worst part of this, we go to the show for in camp at Hooters at Mall of Georgia.
Oh,
and we got this guy we call Cam Jr., who looks like Cam Newton, who's going to be there wearing the jersey. And what was the bet?
$20.
Well, good. Luckily, he had no money. But, I mean, it could have been very expensive.
Well,
and what can you say to a Carolina fan for all the things we just touched on? They've been kicking our butts and embarrassing us.
He didn't want to go any more than that. And I understood why.
He's a family man.
But I got to pay up. Listen, at Green Bay, Jordan Love. Chicago at home, that's Caleb. And Caleb, guys, may be a top three quarterback in this league right now.
He's taking tremendous confidence from last season. Yeah, guys are saying, well, he's a wing and a prayer. Well, it works.
Whatever.
Right.
Look, Caleb, the only other dude who makes throws like Caleb Williams in this league is Josh Allen.
Right.
That's it. On your back foot, I'm going to throw it 50 yards in the air. Like, give me a break.
That was, you know, in his prime. You know, Mike Vick would do the crazy stuff. Sometimes it would be like Algie just, come back here, Roddy. But Mike Vick would, you know, he found a way, you know, to hit, not Roddy, was the other receivers found a way to just, you know, all of a sudden on a rail, like a line drive, you know, 50 yards down the field. That's what, remember that game in Chicago last year between the Packers?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. 49ers, they beat us, and they weren't even healthy last year.
Well, we didn't have 11 men on the field with Christian McCaffrey in the backfield.
Don't remind me. They're coming.
Okay. Then we had too many men on the field.
And then, oh, by the way, that at Tampa game week 8, Baker's already put smoke out there about that with the coach and all the – so look, he's going to be motivated. And then you go to Madrid, and I'm just laying out, like, this idea, well, it's an easy schedule, bullcorn. If, in fact, Joe Burrow's healthy, guys, they're going to score points.
Yeah, I mean, you've got – like, you're going to have a young – you know, we feel good about the secondary. I don't know if Avion's going to be able to start as a nickel. But, I mean, you know what we've seen the Bengals receivers do to this team over the years. So, yeah, that's a concern.
Oh, wait, here comes Jared Goff, Mike, and a motivated Dan Campbell who thinks right. They should have gone a lot further last year at home week 13. You follow me here? Oh, and there's Jaden Daniels. This schedule's not going to be easy by any stretch. I just don't sense that.
That's why, you know, why do you think Vegas had us at 7.5, right?
You believe in that, though?
They know stuff, and they know that we don't have a quarterback just yet.
They know
now,
stuff.
Technically, Vegas has got Pittsburgh as a 2-point favorite in week 1. They don't know who their quarterback is. I know Aaron Rodgers has been, you know, sort of semi-tagged, right? He was designated, but he hasn't shown up yet.
The tender.
Last I saw, he was not at minicamp.
Yeah. All right, full schedule tonight, man, and we're talking about it tomorrow. Real quick, Ed Orgeron, Mike, on WWL. Asked about the Ole Miss comments that everybody's been talking about. He says, I think that stigma is always going to stay with them, just like other schools have stigmas, but that is definitely there at Ole Miss. Ed Orgeron also was there at
coach
one point.
There. Yeah.
So, again, he's not saying I co-sign what Lane Kiffin said, but in fact, he is kind of saying that. Like, he's not necessarily wrong, but I'm not going to get into all of that. It's a stigma,
right? But it is, you know, for Ed to say that—that's like he's qualified to speak because he's coached at both schools. But it just to me, I'm like, look, no one's debating, you know, as far as what was the state where segregation died the hardest in the Deep South. It was Mississippi, but just didn't like the way Lane Kiffin decides he's going to throw that into the Vanity Fair. It's calculated. There's nothing not calculated by Lane Kiffin saying that in the Vanity Fair-ish. So it's like you already gutted the team. They were able to get as far as they were. You pulled what you pulled in the most historic season in recent Ole Miss history, and then you got to throw more dirt on them with that. You know, that's why Lane Kiffin is Lane Kiffin. But Ed's telling you, you may lose out on recruits because there's a stigma. Families are not going to send their kids to Mississippi.
No, look, as I said, Tuberville talked about this, and back then it was the Confederate flag thing.
Right.
It was even more challenging, I think. But with that said, I found that interesting because it's something we talked about. Real quick, mention this, and again, I hope, Mike, because again, I don't think this is where college sports needs to be when you start gutting programs. But as I said, Arkansas's tennis program, and look, it's not a ratings getter. More than anything, Mike and I discussed, is this going to happen in more places? And I said to Mike, this happened this afternoon. 20 days after they did away with it, it's being reinstated. And to your point, who came to the rescue? They had some donors. They had people give money to keep this thing alive. And they're saying this may not be a long-term solution.
Well, I mean, the idea is I got to get stuck with 24 games, a 24-team playoff, with you know, half the teams getting a bye and some crappy games in the first two rounds, so I can support the sports that only friends and family watch. Which, again, easier said than if you have kids and your kids on a scholarship, there should be enough money now from the TV. Football and basketball, men's basketball, is the life's blood for the programs. That's the message, and that's going to be the argument for why you're going to get more of this TV revenue and you keep your other programs in the school alive. Arkansas's AD was on record last year saying, look, we can't compete with other schools in football. Before you even get down to the other the sports that are lower on the totem pole.
But what's crazy about this is when you look at like Clark Lee today, and we were talking about this, and he was very calculated how he answered it. But how is Vandy getting all this money?
They've always had money up there. The key is to get folks interested
in football.
Right. And because was there ever hope? You know, Franklin certainly had some hope. They've had some peaks, and now you're coming off a 10-win season. You know, you got Jared Kirsch, you got a big-time recruit that, you know, whether or not Georgia fans felt he was stolen at the last minute, you always felt like if Vandy could get their ish together, a kid who goes to Nashville Christian is going to go there. And they did, and he did. Listen to the interview. He talks about the recruiting process. I said, look, if you don't mind us walking through it, and he kind of talked about, you know, the kid was impressed by what Vandy was bringing to the table.
Yeah. It's just interesting. I mean, the if you feel like these there are lower tier schools in the
unless
SEC,
it was just more money, which you're not going to say that, no, but some fans will snicker and say just simply more dollars.
Well, he made it sound like it was relationship based, which it may have been, but let's not fool ourselves. I still think they gave him a lot more money. What's going on?
Well, you saw the story today that comedian Nate Bargatze did a movie called The Benchwarmers. Mm-hmm. And,
yes, he did. I'm in it.
And also getting part of his NIL deal, Jared Curtis got a feature in that movie. Part of his deal.
This is true. And by the way, it's out. You can see it. It got reviewed at South by Southwest. It is. It's about the recruiting the biggest recruit in the South.
How big is your part?
It's little. It's a couple of spots. But the bottom line for me is like those kind of things are going to help a school like Vandy land a kid like that. That is part of this. Right. And if we keep talking about Kirby, I know we got to go, but if we keep talking about Kirby Mike not wanting to spend that allocated money on a quarterback, whatever the percentage is, then they're not going to go above and beyond what they need to do that. All right, man. We got to get out of here. Turtles got you covered with the schedule. We will be all over it tomorrow. Make sure you tune in at 2 o'clock, Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Let's get out of here and clear our throat. Mike said it. Thanks to Jermaine Dupri, one of the all-time greats in Atlanta icon, for stopping by, man. That block party at Truist is going to be a lot of fun. You can go check out all the information. Again, it's coming up in July. You got plenty of time to plan for it. July 22nd, first 15,000 are going to receive the bobblehead. It's a JD bobblehead. It looks cool. The promotions are out there. And he said he's going to DJ. He's going to bring some friends. He's going to have some fun, man. And it's going to be a good time. So make sure you check that out. Also, thanks to our man Mike Griffith and Grant McCauley as well and Coach Lee. All right. Big O, Day-Day, great job as always behind the glass. Stay tuned. Turtle's got you covered. Mm. He's actually doing three shows tonight. He's doing Chris Thomas tonight, then he's doing the draft show, then he's got baseball stuff for you late, so stay tuned as we hope the Braves are able to sweep the Cubs. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, what's going on with your boy James Harden? Stepped up last night. Now, he wasn't shooting threes. He wasn't hitting a lot of threes. He was shooting free throws because nobody draws the contact better than the beard, and he's turned it into an art form. Now, they have kind of shied away from him kicking into people from the three-point line, but the guy made his difference on the free throw line. And that's something that, you know, you can do. The question is, how does Detroit respond? Detroit looked to be the world beaters, then they got the scare from the Orlando Magic. If you didn't see it, Jalen Duren, we talked about the big moments for our guys. What's going on with Jalen Duren, who's completely disappeared in this series, and now they're on the verge of elimination?
Look, the Braves aren't going to win every game. They're certainly not going to win every series. But the way they are winning gives you a belief that you haven't had in a while. And that belief is we're never out of it. We can be down one run, two run, three runs. It doesn't matter. And by the way, once we take a lead, how much confidence is this bullpen giving you? There are reasons to buy in. I said this earlier in the week. You can be pragmatic. I'm not going to be.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm going to enjoy every single win, Mike. And let's let the doubters and the haters continue to doubt and hate. Braves got a good team. You can acknowledge it. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friend.
If you don't,
somebody in China stole your Twitter account.
So you were looking in his eyes.